My guest is Ry Cooder. He's earned a reputation for the kind of slide guitar playing that could make a lizard crawl down from a wall and make a young girl forget her upbringing. He got his first guitar when he was 4. Growing up in Santa Monica, California, he would listen to every radio station and try to play all the different musical styles, jazz, honky-tonk, Tex-Mex, rock and roll, rhythm and blues. This musical exploration would continue throughout his career. Ry Cooder has composed 9 film scores, including Paris, Texas, and has released 11 solo albums. The latest is called Get Rhythm. On the back of the album cover, he thanks one of his guides to the world of obscure music, Barry Hanson, also known as Dr. Demento.
I've known Barry for, Lord, let's see, maybe since I was 14 or 15. I mean, we go way back as friends. So I always thank him because when, of course, I'm making these records, I need to turn to him sometimes and say, you know, help me out. I've heard of a song, for instance, Nick Lowe said, go listen to this 13-question method. I thought I'd heard everything of Chuck's, you know. Chuck Berry, I mean to say.
Yes, Chuck Berry, who did write this song.
He wrote the song, yeah.
Right, 13-question method. Yeah. And it's not at all what you expect from Chuck Berry, because you're used to him being loud. But here, the song is it's just a quiet...
Well, of course, his version of it's different. He did a kind of a rumba, nightclub, bongo, Desi Arnaz trip on it. But his songs are food for thought. You know, they contain a lot of different ideas other than what's overtly there, I think. So I listened to it, and I thought, well, I'm going to file that away in my mind because you could sing that song any kind of way you want to. It could sound uptown or downtown or whatever. And those kind of flexible songs will come in handy one of these days, I figure.
Now the 13-question method is the one to you. Listen to me. 13-question method is the one to you. I'm saying that the 13-question method is the one you gotta use. You wanna have some fun, cause the 13-question method is the one to use. Question number one, you wanna have fun? Question number two, what to do? Let's see. Question number three, wanna go out and eat burger with me? God almighty, well, the 13-question method is the one to use.
You are one of the few people who take songs, take tunes from bygone eras, for lack of a better word, and you do them in such a way that they are moved into the present. You don't give us a quote-unquote museum-faithful rendition of a song. You add something to it. You arrange it differently. Do you hear those different arrangements when you're listening to an old tune like this?
Well, you see, the music's not in a museum, I don't think. When it gets to the museum stage, it's over, it's dead, I'm afraid. But I see the music, it's all out there, whether it's a guy 20 years ago or 50 years ago or yesterday. If it's a good song, it has a life outside of a time frame.
On this album, you seem to be exploring a new era of music, the 50s, the 60s. You do a remake of All Shook Up. Are you finding a new gold mine of music in that particular era now?
Oh, no. You really must understand this is all accidental. We were sitting in the studio, and me and the rhythm section, and I say to the cats, I say, All Shook Up. Everybody remembers All Shook Up. I'm going to sing it. Go with me. And there was, at the end of that take, which wasn't so much a take, you know, but just a kind of a stab at something, we had a version of All Shook Up. And that's a good song. I mean, it's actually a great song. Itching Like a Man on a Fuzzy Tree has got to be one of the primary lyrics of the modern era.
Like a man on a fuzzy tree. Your friends say you're mad, but why is a bug?
I'm in love.
I'm all shook up.
Mm-hmm. Did this creative process, this process you used on the new album, Get Rhythm, was it different from the process you would have used on some of your earlier albums?
No, this process seems to always be the same. You know, I look at these records as signposts along the way, like an old-time, what they used to call them, the shaving ads on the, as you went
Burma
along.
Shave
Burma
signs,
shave
yeah.
signs. That's what they are. And you keep going on down the road, the musical road, trying to get better at it.
There's also something to be said for selling art in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Is the marketplace more receptive to your art right now?
Well, I'm going to have to wait and see, aren't I? I mean, the thing just came out. I figure it is because I figure people have, on the one hand, been opened up as so much stuff that everything can exist side by side now. You can have Ladysmith Black Mambazo, and you can have Los Lobos doing La Bamba, and you can have some haircut band over here and U2 doing this Irish folk rock that they do, and it's all fine, it's all good. And I also think that all this movie work I did created some kind of hidden visual clues to what I was up to, and people absorb what they see on the big screen a lot faster than they do what's on the disc.
You've called movies the last refuge of the abstract composer.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
Well, they don't look to you to write a bunch of four-minute songs. I mean, they do have four-minute songs in some movies, but they want composition. They want mood and texture and hidden, you know, just tonality and feeling. And you can stop worrying about form so much and get into your own emotion for the thing, the feeling of it. And that's been a great, you know, a liberating kind of thing for me.
What were you looking for when you did Paris, Texas? What emotion, what visual clues were given to you as a detective?
Well, first of all, the sight of Harry Dean Stanton, a torn up looking guy with a red hat in the middle of the desert with a water bottle, is a clue. It's an absolute statement. So what does that sound like? Well, you just go with him as he walks through the landscape, in the town, in the country, in the restaurant, in the motel. You follow him and play it with him. You know, it's a shot in the dark, but it is always a detective problem, but it's great. When it works, it's thrilling, you know, it's terrific, I must say.
And Paris, Texas does work.
Oh, it works, yeah.
Are you going to have to tour with this particular album with your band?
Well, I want to. It's a great band. There's about 11 of us all together. Four singers, Flaco Jimenez on accordion, the great Steve Douglas on sax and so forth. And it's a fabulous experience for me, and the musicians love to play the music. It's free, improvised, primitive, postmodern, neo-primitive village music. Kind of a master village orchestra we are at this point, only we don't live in a village. But if we did, the imaginary village orchestra, I think, would sound the way we sound. I think it's fair to say.
Are you still playing guitar with the sawed-off neck of a sherry bottle?
Oh yeah. Well, it's a sound that I like to hear. It's a sound that people are interested in more and more. It's a pretty sound, and you can also use it to do snarly, horrible, scary things. You know, and that's nice too sometimes.
What do you do, go around to people's empty ash cans and pick up the old bottles?
Oh,
and
yeah, I mean, you know, I get my shopping cart out. And, no, I just go to the liquor store and buy a bottle that looks correct. I've figured it out finally that the sherry bottles are all heavier glass for some stylistic reason, I don't know, and have the longer necks, and I tape them off and take them to the auto glass store and then pour the booze into a bucket for the workers. And then they, before they drink it, I tell them, first, cut these necks off, you know, and then you can drink it and wash your hands later on. They don't like to do it because it makes their saws dull, but I pay them pretty good money, you know, $5 a shot, and they make me these things.
Ry Cooter, thanks a lot for talking with us today.
Well, thank you.
Ry Cooter's new album, Get Rhythm, is on the Warner label.